Thanks for checking out the Root Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you. Now, here's Pastor Rich Wilkerson.
Oh, come on, 10 a.m. Come on, 10 a.m. Why don't we give God a big shout of praise all over this house? Ha ha. This is the real Christians of Voo Church right here. Coming into the 10 a.m. service after the New Year's Eve party. Anybody in here, you didn't even sleep last night? Where are you at? Look at, no one wants to admit it. Someone's admitting it right now. Hey, we're so happy that you're here. Thank you for coming to the 10 a.m. Means so much to us that you're here. And this is the first Sunday of the new year. And I just think, man, being in church on the very first Sunday, how many believe it's going to start your year off the right way? Come on, can we give God a big shout of praise in faith for all that he's going to do in 2017? Hey, do me a favor, high five maybe three or four people and say, you're the real deal. You're the real deal. I don't know about the 12 p.m. people. I don't know about the 4 p.m. people. You know those 6 p.m. people coming in big tonight, but you're the real deal. You're the real deal showing up at 10 a.m. My God. I love it. I love it. I love it. Hey, today, if you've got a Bible with you, go ahead and open it up to the book of Jonah, to the book of Jonah. We are beginning really about a 5, maybe 6 weeks, we're going to be studying the book of Jonah. And when you walked in today, hopefully you got one of our journals on the book of Jonah. If you didn't get it today on the way out of here, stop by maybe the resource corner or the connect corner, and we have these for you. And really what this is this is going to help lay out for you as we go through the book of Jonah, just a way to study the book. And what we believe in here at Voo Church is a little process called soaping. I'm not talking about like real soap, but soaping stands for Scripture, observation, application, and prayer. And maybe you read your Bible every day. Maybe you don't really ever read your Bible. We're trying to help you jumpstart the year with some Bible reading. And so the Bible journal is going to help you out. And what it does is every day it gives you some scriptures to read. And with that, you can begin to break those things down and learn a little bit about that. And so within this Bible journal, we incorporated some programs and processes for your prayer life. As Nick was saying, tomorrow we begin 21 days of prayer and fasting. And what we want to always say as a church is that, you know, prayer is not really like our last kind of idea, but it's always our first idea. Prayer is the first thing we want to do. And so we're starting the year off praying. And maybe you're going, I don't really know how to pray. In the Bible journal, we've given you a couple different kind of programs for your prayer life. I've found it to be very helpful for mine, and I believe it's going to be helpful for yours. Amen? Yeah. So today we're starting the book of Jonah, just 4 chapters, but we're going to take our time with it and we're going to learn about it. And today I want to talk to you from this subject, can't keep running away. How many believe in 2017, you can't keep running away? And so I'm going to preach it like I feel it, and we're going to study this book a little bit today. But would you pray with me and let's ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Lord, we love you so much. And we are so grateful, God, for all that you are doing in our community. Lord, we look back on 2016 and we are blown away with the growth, with the stories, Lord, the transformation. But today, Lord, we're believing right now, God, that you have a word for us, Lord, that 2017 is going to be even better than 2016. So God, speak to us now. Change us from the inside out. In Jesus' mighty and holy name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Come on, everybody said?
Amen.
Come on, 10 a.m. New Year's Day service. Can we go ahead and give God a big shout of praise? Hallelujah. All right, Jonah chapter 1 is where we start today. And just a little bit about the book of Jonah. Jonah is a prophet of God. He's one of the minor prophets. And lots of times here at Voo Church, we spend a lot of time in the New Testament. But I thought starting the year off, we would start with an Old Testament book and just take our time studying it together and finding the truth and finding the gospel. And what we're going to attempt to do over the next 5 weeks is as we study the book of Jonah, we're also going to be looking for traces of Jesus. We're going to be looking for traces of the gospel, and we're going to see his grace come alive even in the Old Testament. I don't know if you know this, but the whole book, Genesis to Revelation, all 66 books, every page, every verse, it's pointing and it's creating a picture for you of Jesus. Amen? And so we're going to find Jesus even in the book of Jonah. And so Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, this is what the Bible says. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of a mittai. Now, it's important that we start right here because the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Why is the word of the Lord coming to Jonah? Because Jonah is a prophet, okay? And prophets hear from God, and then they speak out the word to the people. What I think we all need to know is that the word of the Lord is still going forth. God still wants to speak to people. And if you'll make yourself available to God, he'll begin to speak to you. See, even as we start 21 days of prayer and fasting, I love what Nick just said a moment ago, is that it's not about changing God, it's about changing us. It's not that God isn't speaking, it's that God is speaking so much. Are we stopping and are we pausing to hear the word of the Lord? The Bible says this, that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Now, what's amazing about Jonah is Jonah's name, it means dove. And I was thinking this week about birds, and birds have a tendency, they've told us honestly, that birds, they know when a storm is coming, and birds will always flee before the storm comes because they're trying to escape harm. Jonah is known as the reluctant prophet because he's known to fly away and run away. Now what's amazing is that his dad's name, Amittai, it means truth. Amittai means truth. So Jonah is the son of truth, yet Jonah has a problem, and the problem is that he tends to run away. I think as we start the new year off, a good question for you to ask yourself is what are you running away from today that you should be running to? What are you running away from that you should be running to? Because I don't know about you, man. I got a lot of good things that happened in 2016, but I have made up my mind that in 2017, I don't want to run away from one thing that God has called me to. I don't want to run away from the promises of God. I don't want to run away from the things I'm afraid of. I want to run to the storm. I want to run to the problems. I want to run to the challenges, because I believe on the other side of the challenge is where I'm going to see my destiny occur. Come on. Does anybody out there believe it? This is our year to run to the things that God is calling us to run to. Jonah's name, it means dove. He is reluctant. He flies away. And I got a feeling that there's a Jonah in all of us. So we're just going to read some scriptures today, and we're going to make some observations with this theme hitting us that in 2017, I can't keep running away. Jonah chapter 1, verse 2. This is called Bible study. Welcome to VU Church. Here we go. The word of the Lord came to Jonah and says, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. All right, the very first thing that we discover in the book of Jonah, and it's going to help us in 2017, is that God doesn't always tell you to do things that you like. Amen. Some of you are like, I don't want, what do you mean? This is a truth that you're going to have to embrace in 2017, that when God speaks to you, it isn't necessarily going to be something that you like nor that you want to do. You know, Jonah, if you've been around church, kind of gets a bad rap in church. And it's very easy to preach about this guy who lived thousands of years ago and to go, isn't he such an idiot? We're so great. No. There's a Jonah in all of us. You have to understand that Jonah had a legitimate reason why he did not want to go to Nineveh. Okay, Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria. Assyria at the time was a worldwide power, and it was known as a barbaric community. Jonah was a prophet to the nation of Israel around 793 BC, 753, all in that time frame there is when he's a prophet. And Israel is Assyria's greatest enemy. Now, there's stories of the Assyrian Empire that would just absolutely shock you. I mean, they were barbaric. They would go into a city and they would completely torture and destroy and murder everyone. They would take people and bury them in the sand and leave their heads out, and they would let people die that way. They would kill an entire city, take the heads of the men, and they would create pyramids outside of the city with men's heads to show people that Assyria has come through there. So when Jonah gets this word from God, he's not like, oh, I just don't feel like doing it. He's like, I'm probably going to die if I go to Nineveh. Yeah. Like, some of you are still having a hard time like inviting your barista at Starbucks to church. Like, I don't know. I don't want to do that, God, you know, but I'm not a Jonah. You're a Jonah. Nineveh is a barbaric, crazy place. And when God is inviting Jonah to be on this mission, Jonah doesn't like this mission. And not much has really changed in Nineveh, because today Nineveh is known as Iraq. This place was barbaric and it was his greatest enemy, yet Jonah is called to go and serve his enemy. Does it sound like anybody else you might know? Jesus. Week 5. He's called to go and serve his enemies. Here's what I want you to catch today. God is going to speak to you in 2017. And he's going to tell you to do some things at times that you don't want to do and that you don't even like doing. And the reason for it is because it's going to require you to trust in him. It's going to require you to get beyond your comfort zone. It's going to require you to lean on him. How many of you know that God wants to absolutely exhaust his grace on our life? That when he gets done working with us, people would say, I know that guy Rich. He's not that talented. He's not that gifted. There must be something on his life. And all you have to do is look back and say, you're absolutely correct. It's called the grace of God, and it's sufficient for me in every moment of weakness. You might have a legitimate reason as to why you don't want to do what God's calling you to do. And so what you're doing today, as a lot of you, is you're delaying your obedience. How many know that delayed obedience is still disobedience? You ever see a mom talking to her kid going, 1? All right, shut up, Jimmy. 2. Zach, 2.5. A lot of us, we're playing this game with God, and we're thinking God is on 2 3/4, and we're just waiting, and God's saying, no, I'm inviting you into this mission. Newsflash, when God speaks to you, it won't always be what you like. I even felt this morning coming in that some of you, you're in this room today, and it's like you're waiting to get a word from God that you like. Guess what? You might be waiting forever. Yeah. Christians are hilarious because Christians, we kind of just pick and choose many times what things we want to believe and what things we want to obey with God. Can you imagine being like on a football team and you're in the game and all of a sudden the coach calls your number and he calls the play. And when he calls the play, you know that that play means that you're going to get tackled. And so you say, oh, Coach, look, I'm not going to be in this play. He's like, why? Because you know this is the one where I get tackled, you know. But how many of you know that maybe if you're willing to get tackled, that might actually mean that your team might score a touchdown? See, I think a lot of people sometimes they say, I don't want to be in this play. I don't want to be in this moment because I don't like the outcome. But what we're really saying is we don't like the outcome for us. Because if you think a little bit bigger, it might not be the outcome that you want, particularly for you and your small little world, but it might be the outcome that your coach wants, and it might be the outcome that your team needs. I believe there's Christians out there today that are more concerned with being tackled than they are with scoring a touchdown. I pray that we would be a church that understands, man, that God's gonna call us to do some stuff that we don't wanna do. But if we'll lean out there and if we'll be willing to get tackled, how many of you know for the kingdom of God, for his name's sake, we might just see a touchdown be scored for the glory of God? Come on, can somebody give God a shout of praise, love of this house? Listen to me. Your calling is not for your glory, but for God's glory. You gotta get that word in your heart today. That what God is telling is not your story, it's his story. And so just because you don't understand it, and just because you don't like it, doesn't mean that you shouldn't obey it. Just go throughout the Bible. Like, just take a moment. Do you really think that all these people that were used by God wanted to do what they did? Wanted. Hear the word, wanted. Did they really want it? Did David really want to fight Goliath? This guy's 13 years old, 3 armpit hairs and a slingshot. He's like, bring him out, bring him out, bring him out. He was willing. I don't know if he really wanted to fight a giant. I mean, did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, did they want to go into a fiery furnace? Want. They were willing, but did they want that? Oh, I just hope we get burned today. That's not what they're thinking. Did Daniel want to go into a lion's den? just want to test God and see if these kittens will really actually bite me. He's not thinking that. Did Abraham, after he waited 100 years for a promise from God, did he really want to sacrifice Isaac on an altar? Want. Did Jesus, hear me, want to go to the cross? Lord, my flesh is weak, but my spirit is willing. Hear me. There's two things that still please God, and it's called faith and obedience. God wants to use you in 2017, but you're going to have to stop and you're going to have to pause and you're going to have to realize that when the word comes to you, and it's coming to you in the next 21 days, when it comes to you, it might not be what you like and it might not be what you want, but trust me in this, it's going to be better than you ever expected it. Come on, anybody at VU Church in the 10 a.m. with 1 hour of sleep on your body, come on, can you just praise God for a moment if you believe what I'm preaching? Come on. All right, let's go back to the Bible study. Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1, verse 3. But Jonah, the dove, ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. There will always be a boat headed in the wrong direction. You need to realize that when God speaks to you, I'm just trying to get practical in 2017, because we could come in here today and talk about New Year's resolutions and how I'm losing weight and how I'm going to get my marriage together, da, da, da. But you need to know that when God speaks to you, there's going to always be another boat headed in the wrong direction. You know, I did some study, and it's amazing, because God calls Jonah to go to Nineveh. And it's east of where he is, about 500 miles. It would take a few days to get there. But Jonah instead decides to flee, to run away from what he's called to do, and head all the way to Tarshish, which is on the southeast of Spain, 2,500 miles in the opposite direction. Have you ever considered that sometimes it takes more effort in disobeying God than it does in simply obeying? Some of you are exhausted trying to keep, you're creative with your sin. You got fake Instagram accounts. I remember when I was younger, man, I used to sneak out of my house and, you know, I remember one time I went out my window. It's just the effort I went to rebel, you know. See, what happened was, Dad, I fell out of the window because I was praying. Like, what are we talking about? 500 miles is all God wanted to go. He decides, no, let me start running 2,500 miles in the opposite direction. I don't know what it is, man, but hear me. God will speak to you, and he'll tell you what to do. And I got a really good feeling today that most of you in the room know what you're supposed to be doing in 2017. Some of you, it's the same thing you were supposed to do in 2016. And God is still waiting on you just to obey him, but you keep delaying, and God's just saying, hey, the same word is just still hanging there. You're going to actually have to obey. But you keep running in the other direction. You keep hopping on the wrong boat. And here's what I've learned. I've learned that when God speaks to us, out of nowhere, it's like there seems to be this other option to go on this other boat. Like someone this year is going to decide that I'm going to quit smoking. I'm getting healthy. But right, you're going to go to the gas station. And for some reason, the gas station is going to have a sale on cigarettes. You're like, oh my God, you know? Happens that way, right? There's a girl here today. It's like God has spoken to you that the man, the boyfriend, not your husband, praise God, the boyfriend that you're with right now, people hear what they want to hear, the boyfriend that you're with right now, you're not supposed to be with him. He's confirmed that. He's told you that's not the man you're supposed to live this life with. Yet somehow today, through this message, he's going to be like, yo, girl, I think this is my year. And you're like, okay, you're going to go back into the vicious cycle because there's another boat, even though God's spoken to you. It's like you could be in this place right now. It's like, all right, I'm done gossiping this year. But as soon as you walk out of this service, a friend is going to come to you with some really juicy news. And it's going to be this temptation to jump on this other boat. You're going to go, I'm going to lose weight. And someone's going to bring you a salty donut to church. It happens. God, give me patience. And then there's traffic. I'm just telling you, every time he speaks, there's an appearance that there's more options. Oh, come on, VU Church. Just because there appears to be multiple options doesn't mean that there's multiple ways. There's only one way, and it's the Jesus way. Does anybody in the 10 a.m. believe that God's speaking today? Give God a shout of praise over this place. There's one way. It's God's way. It's the Jesus way. You got to get on the right boat, and you got to get in the right direction. Why does this happen, you say? Because what this is that when God invites us to be on his mission, the enemy, he understands that if we get on mission, God's grace is sufficient. He's going to meet us. We're going to see miracles happen. We're going to see change happen. And so the enemy is going to do whatever he can do to get you to jump on the wrong boat. And if he can just distract you and get you running, he can exhaust you. He can tire you out, and he can bring you to a point that you will quit. I was thinking this week in my life, what is it that has kept me from jumping on the wrong boat? Not saying that I haven't ever gotten on the wrong boat, but what is it that's kept me from getting on the wrong boat? I want to give you three things really quick here. Three things that have kept me off the wrong boat. The first thing that I've made a commitment in my life and I want to challenge you in 2017 is intimacy with God. Intimacy with God. We talked about this word intimacy in our collection of talks on the church. And intimacy means into me, see. See into me. See the real me. Getting to know the real God. Not just the God that you hear about on Sunday, but the God that you actually know. Who is Jesus? What's he like? What's his nature? What's his character? What are his thoughts towards me? But not just that, me getting open and intimate with God about who I really actually am. God, change me. God, transform me. How do we get intimate with God? Well, we start with prayer, right? I'm telling you right now, 21 days of prayer and fasting. It's not just something we put on our calendar as a joke or just to do it. It's something we take serious. This Wednesday night, man, we got three Wednesday nights for the next 3 weeks in a row. Wednesday night, 7:30 p.m. at the Miami Rescue Mission. Just 1 hour. We're not going to keep you long. 7:30 to 8:30, we're going to pray. We're going to help you pray. We're going to coach you and teach you so that you learn how to pray. The Bible says that this house, the church, it's not a house of preaching. It's not a house of worship. It should be called a house of prayer. We're going to put it into practice this Wednesday. But what is the point of it? The point of it is to grow closer to God, to lean into Jesus, to get his heart for our lives. And if you find yourself constantly getting on the wrong boat, the first question I would ask you is, what does your intimacy with God look like right now? But it's not that. Secondly, it's Bible application. I use that word Bible application because it's not about just reading my Bible and soaping, but it's actually about reading the verses and going, God, how can I apply this to my life? How many of you know that the blessing is not in the knowing, the blessing is always in the doing? And you have to get to a place where God's word isn't just some narrative or just words on a paper, but rather God's word is something that starts to change you and transforms your actions. Bible application. Thirdly, and I use this last one, is community with believers. What's kept me from getting on the wrong boat? It's been the community. It's been the people I'm doing life with. Notice the story of Jonah. Jonah, he's a prophet of God, okay? That's like his job. The word of the Lord comes to him. He doesn't like the word. So he heads down to Joppa where he finds a ship crew. Not a VU crew, a ship crew. Not a VU crew, a ship crew. Notice it's not his family. It's not his friends. It's not those that know the calling on his life. It's not those that know who he wants to be. It's not those that he said, hey, this year, this is the man I want to be. It's just a ship crew. Yeah. And he goes down, and the ship crew takes him on board. And what happens to a lot of us in life is that we're not intentional with the people we're spending the most time with. We're not intentional with the relationships that we're creating. We're not actually walking in authentic, vulnerable, transparent Christian community. And so what happens is you just show up into people's lives and people, they just start taking you on their boat. And what I've learned is this, is that if you don't know where you are going, people will be glad to take you where they are headed. Some of you keep ending up in places left and right. Go, I didn't want to be here. Well, it's because you weren't intentional with the people you got on the boat with. You weren't intentional with the people that you surrounded yourself with. what happens to us is that we just kind of float through life and that's my buddy and that's my buddy. I want you to have a lot of friends, but I want you to be intentional with your key community. Who are the people that know me? This is the man I want to be. I want to be a man. I want to be a husband. I want to be a pastor who refuses to keep running away from the call of God. I want to get some people around me that are going to hold me accountable to that. Yes. Not a VU crew. He got with a ship crew. Some of you in 2017, this is your moment to get into a VU crew. This is your moment to get into godly community. If you're saying right now, I can't find any Christian friends, guess what? We want to help you find a community right now that you can walk in transparency, that you can walk in vulnerability, that you can walk in authenticity with, and they can help you become the person that God has called you to be. Come on, anybody in the 10 a.m. service, believe it. Give God a big shout of praise, love of this house. Jonah chapter 1, verse 4. Jonah has gotten a word from God. He doesn't like the word from God. Now he's found a boat that just happens to be going in the wrong direction. He jumps on it. So it's not the wrong direction. It's 2,500 miles in the opposite direction. And this is what happens. Jonah chapter 1, verse 4. We're going to read quite a few verses here. Stick with me. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do?" I love that. "Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew, this is good, they knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up, throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that this is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life." Isn't it funny that this crew of godless men is more gracious towards Jonah than Jonah has ever been towards Nineveh? Look at this, keep going. "Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man for you, Lord. Have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. Here we go. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Here's our third observation today, is that God may use a storm to wake you up. God may use a storm to wake you up. This story is completely a strong parallel for so many of us in what 2016 might have looked like and where we're at today in 2017. Jonah hears a word from God. God speaks to him directly, tells him what to do, but he doesn't want to do it. He doesn't like it. It's hard. It's scary. I don't know what God has told you that you're supposed to do that you are delaying on. Could be forgiving somebody. Could be serving in church, could be starting to be a tither. It could be inviting a friend, one of your coworkers. I don't know. It could be reconciliation with your kids. He's told you to do something, but you just keep delaying it. And Jonah thought to himself, "Let me go and hire a boat." And he thought that the further away he got, that the easier it would get. But how many of you know that you can run from God, but you can't hide from God? Sooner or later, God is going to come and find you where you are. The Bible says that Jonah gets on this boat, and as he heads out, he goes down below deck and he falls into a deep sleep. Some of you are sleeping on your destiny. Some of you are sleeping on what God has spoken to you. Some of you are sleeping on the promises of God. And every once in a while, in order to wake you up from your slumber, God has to rock your boat a little bit. The Bible says he sends a great storm. And these men, they come down below and they wake Jonah up and they start having some questions. They have some demands. Who are you? What have you done? What's going on here? What it tells us is that this is not an ordinary storm, but this storm, it must have had some supernatural context to it. Have you ever just seen thing go wrong after thing, after thing, after thing, after thing? You're going, something else is up here, yo. But look what happens. This storm, it doesn't just wake up Jonah physically, it wakes him up spiritually. Look at what he says in Jonah chapter 1, verse 9. He answered, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord. It's like he's reminding himself of who he is. The God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. If it wasn't for the storm, Jonah would have just kept sleeping. But the storm wakes him up and it reclaims his identity. I'm a child of God. I'm submitted to his promises. I am under his control. Though the seas are raging, I believe my God is in control. So you can run and you can keep running, but you can't hide from God. God will come and find you and wake you up. And even today on the first Sunday in the 10 a.m. service, God is here today and he's trying to wake some people up. He's trying to remind you who you are. You got to wake up. His grace will track you down. Today, I'm not saying that every problem and every storm you have is because of some disobedience in your life. But I certainly am suggesting that some of those storms... they certainly could be due to that. Look at what Jonah says. Jonah chapter 1, verse 12. This is a tough question. And I know it's like, man, I really came in for encouragement, but now you're making me feel bad. Could some of the storms that are happening in your life, could it be your fault? I know it's fun to blame the devil. That's easy, right? Man, the devil be messing with me. Yeah, you're kind of an idiot too, though. Kind of been running for a long time. Yeah, but the devil. Nah, I think you just chose that. Because look what Jonah does. Jonah says, pick me up. Throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Do you remember, Anyone in love math class when you're growing up? Who are those people? Oh my God, we pray for you. God bless you. Thank you for enjoying that for none of us. Anyways, do you remember in like math class, some of you, you're like, Rich, I let go of those memories a long time ago. But remember in math class, you would be doing a long division problem. And in the problem, it wasn't good enough to just have the answer, right? Remember you had to show your work. You had to show your work, right? And you'd say, why do I have to show my work? Because showing your work was an indication to the teacher that you understood how you came to that answer. And see, this is a picture, here we go, of salvation. Because salvation is not just choosing Jesus, but salvation is also denying yourself. Salvation is also saying, I am the problem. This is my fault. The square root of my problems is me. I'm part of the problem here. And until I can admit that this is my fault, I'm never, ever, ever gonna walk into the fullness of Christ's free gift of salvation. Jonah says, you gotta throw me overboard. I gotta be willing to die in order that I might be saved. Jonah's thrown overboard. And God, he comes in the form of a fish and he rescues him. Oh, next week, I can't wait to preach. I got a message. It's called Prayers from the Fish. It's going to encourage you. But today, what we see out of Jonah And this beautiful picture of salvation is his willingness to surrender. Oh, it appeared that the most dangerous place was going overboard, but how many of you know that it was the safest place that Jonah could have ever been, because it was going to be the first time that Jonah actually got where God wanted him to be? Throw me overboard, because I believe this storm is going to be calm if I just surrender to my God. 2017 is a year that you can't keep running away anymore. 2017 is the year that you have to surrender. And I find it interesting that Jonah, his name, it means dove. And right away, our knee-jerk reaction is that doves fly away from the storm. But there's also another symbol of the dove, and the dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he will come upon you in power. And when God's power comes upon you, he can take impossible situations and you can begin to walk into the possibilities of God. I don't know about you, but do you know what your name means? Because I think you should stop listening to what the world's been saying about you for the last year, and you ought to embrace the new perception of what God says about you, that the Holy Spirit can meet your life. I'm not afraid anymore. I don't have to run anymore. I can decide to follow Jesus. Come on, 10 a.m. It's only 11 a.m. in the morning, but I think we ought to give God praise, and we ought to worship him in faith. Come on, church. Let's sing it out. Come on.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at vuchurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church.